Haven't they done well? If there's something in particular that the young people have said or done this evening that you think deserves thanks to God, then please give it and do tell them afterwards and encourage them. Let me just take a moment to just turn that ever so slightly. That song says, "The God of heaven wants me." I want to ask you, are you aware tonight that the God of heaven wants you? And for just a few minutes before we close and have our tea together, I want to just expand a little on that thought in that song. It says, "God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me." Well, how do you get from understanding that you're wanted to being part of God's team? How do you join in? We've talked about working together and being teams. I just want to say, how can you get on God's team? How can you be part of that? How can you be one of those who's not just wanted by God, but is connected to God? Paul, a Jewish man who would have been raised on the teachings of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to pick you up on one thing. It was probably Solomon, but we don't know. A very minor or very deep point, but a very true point. We don't know who wrote Ecclesiastes. We think it was Solomon. It was a very wise man, and it was studied by the Jews. And Paul would have studied that, and he found freedom from the chains of the religion he followed. And he was freed. And sometime after, he was on a missionary trip and he came to a place called Athens. And it didn't go well. While Paul was waiting in Athens, he was deeply distressed. He saw the city full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogues with the Jews and with those who worshiped God, as well as in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. And some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him, and they said, "What is this ignorant show-off trying to say?" Believe me, they weren't being very polite. That doesn't come across very well. "What does this ignorant show-off want to tell us?" And others replied, "Oh, he's preaching foreign gods." And he was. He was telling them the news of Jesus and the resurrection. Well, I want to encourage you to think about what followed. Paul's address to the Areopagus. If you want to open a Bible at Acts chapter 17 and verse 22, you can follow as I just reword it for today, really. What Paul said was considered by some to be ignorant showing off, and it sounded strange to others, hardly a success. But they wanted to hear more. And in Acts chapter 17 and 22, he gets a second go and he changes his message a little bit. And Paul spoke to the Areopagus slightly differently, and it came across like this. Verse 22, "People of Manningtree, I see that you like to work together. You have teams for this and for that. Any number of them I see from the local magazines and the internet. And yet I know there are lonely people on the streets of Manningtree. I know that there are some who live alone and hardly see anybody else from day to day. So what I want to proclaim to you today is the team that will include everyone. Not just those in the 20 or so clubs you're already a member of. A team to which anyone is welcome to join. The God who made the world and everything in it, he is the Lord of heaven and earth, did not make lots of little teams, all serving different purposes. He is not divided up like that, and he does not divide life up like that. Neither is it possible for you to make a team that will do what his team does. You can't make a team like his team, as if he needed our help. It is he himself who gives everyone life and breath and all things. Actually, all the teams are just poor copies of his glorious team, indeed of himself, for he is the ultimate team. He is God, three persons, and yet one God. You know, God made the first team. He made the first man. Although everything was very good all around him, it was not good for man to be alone. So God also made a woman. A man and woman, when united in a lifelong commitment to the exclusion of all others, is the best team. It even shows us a glimpse of the team that God is building. Do you know God gave that first team a job to do? He said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." But we didn't do it. Sadly, we've not done as we were bid. We try to go our own way. God gave us boundaries of where to live. He gave us day and night and the 7-day week to order our lives by. But we've ignored him. He did all this so that we would look for him and perhaps reach out to him and find him. Because quite frankly, we need him. And in truth, he is not far from each of us. Indeed, from any one of you. Indeed, even now, he is the one who sustains all things. It is in him we live and move and have our being. Even today, we do not control birth and death to the degree we would like. He overrules. And you know what? Some of your teams recognize that. There's some great choirs here in Manning Tree, and they sing some glorious music. We heard one of those human teams, that band, 10th Avenue North. Listen to their words. God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me. Friends, when we realize that we're made by God and belong to him, we should stop being so arrogant and thinking we have all the answers. He doesn't need us. We can't build the team that gets us back to God or makes perfect peace or even feeds everyone in this country. We just can't do it. We've been trying for a long time. Friends, God may not need us, but he wants us. And he loves us. And he chooses to overlook the times of ignorance. And so he commands you and I, all people everywhere, to repent. Stop thinking you can do it on your own. Stop thinking you can build a human team which will solve all these problems and say, God, I need you. Acknowledge that his love can free you when you cannot. That's his team, his way, the only way. And friends, you need to do that today. Because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. The world will not go on forever. It will come to an end. Not because of our failures, because we failed to sort out global warming. Not because of our failures, because we ended up in a nuclear war. But because God knows the times and the seasons, and he has set the day. And he has proved this before your very eyes. Because he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus is like no other man. You know, young people, we still celebrate Jesus Christ. In your very school year, it's locked into Christmas and Easter, his birth and his death. This Jesus is the judge. And one day he will come again and he will decide whether you are part of team sheep or team goats. He is the great shepherd. All the sheep he will bring to himself, they know his voice, they follow him. All the wild goats will run away and keep running. He will gather team sheep into heaven with him. Will you be a member of team sheep on that day? God, you don't need me, but somehow he wants you. Will you join his team tonight? If you will, speak to me or one of the other leaders. Ruth is here, or one of the other Christian adults here. We'd love to help you talk that through. If you want to do that quietly on your own and think a bit more, there's a little green book on the table there called Knowing God Personally. That'll help you to join Team Sheep, Team Jesus. To accept that God, although he doesn't need you, loves you and wants you and would have you free to worship him. And for those of us who have made that commitment already, let us never forget that there are 10,000 reasons to praise him. 10,000 reasons, and then some more, to say, thank you, God, that you love me, that you want me, that you free me. We're going to sing that as our final song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul.